Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Thankfully, the Lord has already ordained us to be overcomers. When we're born of Him, the Bible says whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith is not just, sometimes people say, what faith are you? And they mean, what group do you belong to? Well, the Bible didn't say the just shall live by what group they belong to. You live by faith. Amen. That's not just a group thing. That's a personal way of living, way of functioning. It's a way of seeing things, a way of hearing, a way of thinking. Did you hear that phrase, hearing? Mm-hmm. See, you can hear in faith, or you can hear in fear. You can hear in confident expectation of something good, or you can hear expecting something bad. You can hear depressed. Before anything starts, you can go, oh, not again. Huh? And so what are you expecting to hear? Well, why am I saying that? Because that slants your hearing.
Yeah.
It slants your hearing. Go with me to the book of Proverbs while we're talking about this. Proverbs, the 4th chapter. Look at this passage. In Proverbs 4, he's talking about the words of God and the wisdom of God. In verse 10, he said, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. Well, what if you don't? Well, then will your years be the same?
No.
See, if there was no difference in whether you heard or you didn't hear, this scripture wouldn't make any sense. No. What's going to change how many years you got? What's the first word?
Hear.
Hear. Does it make a difference how you hear?
Oh, yes.
How you hear makes a difference how long you live.
Yes, sir.
Did you see this?
Yes.
Well, skip on down to verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Is he talking about hearing?
Yes.
Look at it again. Do what? Attend. Now that's where we get our word attention.
Yes.
Attend. Pay attention. You ever heard that before?
Yes.
Huh? We're in class here.
Yes.
Pay attention. And boy, you have to say that because nowadays in our generation, there's all these beeping and messages and emails and alerts and notifications, and there's something going on all the time. And what has happened in our generation, and particularly in the younger generation, is a lot of folks' attention spans have gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. And they tell us on internet stuff, a lot of times if something doesn't catch their attention in the first 10, 20 seconds, they're going to something else.
Yeah.
They're looking for something else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't work with God.
No.
That doesn't work with the Word of God. And what's he saying? Do what? Attend to my words. Pay attention to them. That's why you've heard me say, if you've come joined us before, I say, get your Bible. Turn everything else off. Come on in here. We've saved you a chair. Why? Because this is your attention chair. Right?
Yes.
Huh? So that you're here, I'm almost standing on top of you. Huh? So you can't be whiling away and scanning and searching and surfing the internet or whatever else you're going to do, or checking all of your social media. No, I'm right here. I'm going, shut that off. We're talking about the Word of God,
amen.
Right?
Amen.
Attend. Somebody say attend.
Attend.
Attend. And then what's the next phrase? incline your ear to my sayings. Now, what does that mean, incline? Incline, it talks about an angle, and it paints a picture of leaning in. Huh? And that does paint a picture, doesn't it? If somebody's talking and you do this. What does that mean? I don't want to miss this. Right? I don't want something out here to distract me, or interrupt me. So I'm moving away from the distractions closer to what I want to hear.
Amen.
Didn't the Bible tell us, draw near to God?
Yes.
Right? Yes. Draw near to Him, and He will draw near to you.
Amen.
It's possible for people to be, you know, two people to be in the same church service, the same meeting, the same faith school class, and one person get life-changing revelation, and the person sitting beside them get nothing. And yet they heard the same thing, and yet they didn't hear the same thing. You know what I mean by that? They were in the same place. The sound of the words bounced off their eardrum, but can you have ears but not hear?
Yes.
Eyes but not see?
Yes.
A heart but not understand?
Yes.
So who's in charge of your eyes being able to see? And your ears being able to hear? Well, yeah, God is the one who gives revelation and opens eyes and light, but if you don't want to hear it, it does Him no good to try to give it to you. You don't want to hear it anyway. And sadly, that is the case with many, many people on the planet. You would think, well, people just, you know, they don't know the truth. If they knew the truth. No, a lot of folks don't want to hear the truth. A lot of people, they hate the truth. They despise the truth. And so it's not true that they want to hear it. You can say, well, yeah, but if I could just explain it well enough. It wouldn't matter how well you explain it. They just don't want to hear it. And God won't make us be receptive to the truth. But if you got any smarts about you, tell me what the truth will do for you. It will make you free. It will enlighten you. It will liberate you. Oh, hallelujah. So certainly if we have any understanding, when God speaks, we're going to go, okay, give your attention to this. Turn, focus on this. And when He's showing you something and telling you something, tell me what you do. You lean in. Is that right? You incline your ear.
Hallelujah.
My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they, His words, are life to those that find them. Are they life to everybody? No, just those that find them. Did you see this? Now see, what determines who finds them? Well, back up to the previous verse. The people that attend to them, right? That incline their ear to them. And it's available to everybody, but is everybody getting it? No, not even close to everybody getting it. If you choose to attend and incline and keep focused and keep them in your heart, they are life to those that find them. They are health, or the margin says medicine, to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Hearing God's words affects your heart, affects your inner man. That affects your mind and your soul. That affects your body and everything around you. And where did it start? Hearing. And how does faith come?
By hearing.
And then so how does healing come? How does provision come? You see what I'm saying? How does all these things come? It begins with hearing. Then comes the revelation and the vision and the faith and the strength. Hallelujah. So everybody said out loud, Lord, I do. Respect your words.
I purpose
to attend to your words.
I incline my ear
and my heart
to hear your words.
Thank you.
Thank
for the living truth. Father, we do. We all agree together, everybody here and everybody joining us, watching and listening, asking for utterance, your words, anointing, your words. Open eyes to see and hear and understand your words. Fresh manna from heaven for today. Give us this day our daily bread. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's why we have, you know, the textbook of Faith School is the Bible. And that's why we spend time after time looking at scriptures, seeing how one scripture connects with the other. And we've been for a number of weeks now in this series that we're calling Faith for Provision. How do you get faith for provision? It comes by hearing. And so I need to hear what God has said about provision. And in hearing His words, I find out how He thinks. I find out what's priority to Him, what's valuable to Him, what He likes, what He doesn't like, what He loves, what He hates, and what's His will, what's not His will. Sadly, millions of church-going people have received a religious tradition that men came up with to tell them who God is and how He thinks. And you even have to watch some of the modern so-called translations that are out now. I'm not saying you can't read anything else, but be aware that a number of them are not really translations. They're what we'd call a paraphrase. And what I mean by that is they're not giving you a word-for-word translation. They are giving you an interpretation. They are telling you what they think He meant. Oh boy, there's a whole kind of room for problems with that, right? I don't want you to tell me what you think God meant when He said something. I want to know what He said. And I'll do my own thinking, thank you. Yes. Are you with me on that? Yes. And I got the Holy Spirit in me to help me understand what God was saying and what it meant. But you don't start with somebody else's idea about what He said. Do you see how you can wind up 10 people removed from what God said? What did He say? Now, you may think I'm exaggerating, but I've spent a good bit of time studying, and I'm telling you, some of these translations, I look at it and I just sit back in my chair and I go, hold on now, where did you come up with that, right? Because I go and look at some of the original, and it's not even close to what He said. Yeah. Now, one of the greatest things you can do, truth is consistent.
Yes.
Totally consistent. Yes. And if you want to understand something better, look at how it's used through the whole word.
Yeah.
If a phrase or a word, look at it, because it'll mean the same thing if it's in the Old Testament, the Psalms, the Proverbs, the Gospel accounts, the Epistles, and you see a continuity, you see a consistency. Mm-hmm. And the reason people get wrong doctrines a lot of times is they take half a verse and they try to make it say something it didn't say.
Yeah.
And if they had only read the two verses that came before it,
amen,
or the verse that came after it, you see what I'm saying? So how do we get faith for provision? We've got to find out God's will about this.
Yeah.
What is His will? And that's where everything starts. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And as long as you are questioning the will of God, you can't be in faith about that. And you are wavering. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. Maybe He will. Maybe He won't. And if you're that way, James says, don't let that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. You won't receive. Well, we don't want to not receive. We want to receive. That means you got to get settled. Is it His will?
Yes.
For us to have abundant provision?
Yes.
Or not?
Yes.
I've been saying for weeks now, it is.
It
Abundant provision
is
always God's will for us all. What makes you say that, Brother Keith? I'm so glad you asked. We are in the process of giving one after another 30 reasons from Scripture. You could easily give 40 or 50 or 100. There is so much here. But, you know, I think after 30, you should have an idea. Yes. Right? You should at least be thinking in a direction. And we started out, our first reason was the Lord is my shepherd. Reason number one, and it's based on Psalm 23:1. What does it say? The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
That same word translated want in the same King James Bible and some other places is translated lack.
Yes.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. And in the psalm, it talks about he leads me beside the still waters and how that the sheep is laying down in the green grass. Well, you know, when you're a little sheep and it's the middle of the day and you're laid out napping in the grass, that's because your belly is full.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you'd be up trying to find something to eat. And so you're by this crystal clear stream drinking water. You got more grass than you could eat in three lifetimes, and your shepherd standing there watching over you, keeping you from the lion and the wolf, and he's going to lead you to greater places. You got it made.
That's right.
I said you got it made.
Yes.
But part of that package is your needs are met.
Amen.
You are well fed.
Yes.
You are well housed.
Yes.
You are well clothed. You are well cared for. Everybody said out loud, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not lack.
I shall not lack.
The Lord's my shepherd.
The Lord's my shepherd.
I will always
have everything,
I need.
I need.
That's one of the translations that we looked at back then. And so we've been going. That was reason number one. And reason number two was the goodness of God. And we talked about the fatherhood of God, the creation of God. And actually, we're touching back on some of that in our current reason. God created things the way He wanted them to be. If you want to see the will of God, go back to the book of Genesis and see how things were before sin, before the fall, before the curse. The curse has never been God's will.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Never.
The curse was the result of the sin, the disobedience, the defiance. And so to say that the curse and the death is the will of God and what pleases Him, well, that came as a result of the sin and rebellion. So I guess the sin was His will too. No. The sin is the result of man having a free choice and choosing wrongly. But if you want to see the will of God, look at pre-sin, pre-curse creation. We're going to do some of that. And then if you skip fast forward to the end of the book, and you see in Revelation, he talks about the Lord's creating a new heaven and a new earth, and there's no curse.
Yeah.
Now if the Lord wanted the curse, well, then we'd never get away from it, right? I mean, there'd be curse in heaven. If the Lord liked poverty, there'd be poverty in heaven. If the Lord liked sickness, there would be sickness in heaven. How many believe there's sickness in heaven?
No.
Poverty in heaven. How many people hungry in heaven? Starving in heaven? None. And what he taught us to pray, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
God doesn't have two different wills, one for heaven and one for earth. Somebody says, well, yeah, but it wouldn't be happening if it wasn't the will of God. And that's where you're wrong.
Yeah.
That's where you're wrong. No, all kind of things are happening down here that's not the will of God. And it's because God made us God-like creatures. We're made in His own likeness and image with the ability to be aware, to think, to choose, We're speaking spirits. We're not like the animals in this regard. We're a different thing. We're even different from the angels. God has made us in His own likeness and image. Well, to have something this autonomous, this independent, you're taking a risk, right? It may do something other than what you want it to do, right? We're not robots. And God knew that. He knew it, but He did it anyway, because there would be some of us that would choose Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Not all, but some that would. Anybody raise a hand and say, that's me. I'm one of those.
Yes.
Huh? I love God.
I love God.
He chose me and I choose Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I'm with Him forever.
Amen.
Forever.
Amen.
Forever. Forever. And so you see His will in His creation and then in His restoration after all these things. And in both of those, you will see no curse, no death, no pain, no crying, no dying, no poverty. None. So poverty never was the will of God. Never will be the will of God. Sickness and disease never was the will of God. Never will be the will of God. You think about this. When God created Adam, Adam is His masterpiece. He made him, He formed him personally. And then personally breathed some of Himself, Spirit, into this creation. And He became a living soul with the intelligence and ability to commune with God and understand what God was saying to him.
Wow.
Woo.
Hallelujah.
And then He made woman from the man. And you can believe these two human beings were perfection.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Both of the man and the woman were perfection. You have never seen a better looking man or woman. No flaws, no deficiencies, nothing was to this or to that or not enough this or not enough that. And you'll see, he warned them. He said, in the day that you eat, you'll die. And sure enough, they died inside that day. But then it took almost a millennia for that body to die. God had made it so perfect. He had made it so well. It took 930 years or something for Adam to die. But it's because he died inside. And then that death started working through every part of his life. But you'll see today, because of the curse and death, disease, attacking bodies, killing parts, destroying parts, causing parts of the body to dry up, shrivel away, be twisted inside themselves. And you see bodies that are deformed and twisted until they no longer resemble what God made. How could that please God? How could that please God, the deformity and the destruction of His beautiful creation? No way. No how. So don't try to tell us that God has made people deformed, that He has crippled people and destroyed people with these evil, stinking diseases. No, the Bible calls disease evil. And it calls these things a work of Satan. The Bible said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
Yes.
The scripture tells, and Jesus ministered to, I guess, scores of thousands of people in those few years. And the scripture said all of them that were sick and oppressed, it was by the devil. Oppressed of the devil. Don't tell us satanic oppression is somehow the mysterious will of God and God's using it to work something. No, no, a thousand times.
No.
No. Well, the same thing is true about poverty. I mean, there are people on the planet right now that are literally dying for lack of a decent meal. That's poverty to the extreme. And then all the way on the other side, there are people, you know, they're not starving, but they don't have enough money to pay their utility bill. Well, that's the same evil stuff. This is a little bit of it. This is a lot of it. Can you see that? Well, if a lot of it's bad, a little of it's bad, right? Any of it is the same evil stuff. Poverty is not the will of God. I want to hear you say it. Poverty,
poverty
is not the will of God.
Lack
is not the will of God
for me.
It's not the will of God
for His people.
Can't be. It's a curse. The Bible calls it evil. Evil means bad. God's a good God. He does good things. God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. He said, you know, in 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper, that you would be in health, even as your soul prospers. Does that sound like the will of God? It's Scripture. Does God want me to be lacking soulically and spiritually? Certainly not. Does He want me to be lacking physically?
No.
Does He want me to be lacking materially?
No.
Jesus accomplished a complete redemption for us. When He went to the cross, He went spirit, soul, body. They even took His clothes from Him. You remember that? And the Bible said, though He was rich, for your sakes He became poor, so that you through His poverty might be
rich.
He took your infirmities, bore your sicknesses, carried your pains, so you could be
healed.
By stripes you are
healed.
I'm glad we got this settled today. And our time is up. Say it out loud. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. Lord, we rejoice in Your goodwill for us, and we thank You that Your truth is setting us free. There's a lot more to see on this. Come back next time. We'll see you soon here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.